Wizard On Air Music presents Long Player.
I'm Witchy, and I play guitar, and I sing.
Yeah, my name's Thomas. I play the drums.
My name's Toby, and I play bass and occasional vocals.
My name's Daniel, and I wrangle chaos.
We're shoddy.
Shoddy, your debut EP, Nails and Glue, came out recently. So the first song, Waiting for Antimatter, clocks in at just over 8 minutes long.
Yep.
So a bit of a slow build up with the horn stabs mm-hmm. and then the sort of jarring vocal. What are you saying there? What's happening there?
I guess that's probably one of the only ones where it's very kind of forward and direct. Like, most of the time I like it not really... You know, the classic, like, leave it open for interpretation kind of thing. But that one in particular was more just like a kind of like call to action or a call to arms in a way. It was kind of like this desperate, this kind of desperation for things to change or being less cynical. I wrote that the lyrics for those like maybe like almost a year and a half ago or something, or maybe almost 2 years ago. But I kind of... just felt like at the time I was kind of surrounding myself with quite a lot of people that were on the same buzz as me and very like, you know, political and very, you know, very passionate and artistic people, but we felt like we're just having these kind of very deeply cynical conversations every night about the state of the world and not really actually like so much doing, well, we kind of thought we weren't doing too much about it at the time, so it was kind of just like a kind of self-mantra or like a proclamation of kind of like a hidden lust for life. You know, kind of just like being more aware, like, oh, maybe I'm not actually ready to give up in a way. Like the lyrics are like, it's even though it's an 8 minute song, there's only like not that many lines.
Musical arrangement around it, how do the rest of the band come together to write that?
Well, I guess I'd written the like basic fundamental roots of that and for a while again, because since those lyrics were so old, I kind of had like the kind of the very fundamental like riff down, and when Shoddy first started, it was kind of I was playing that song, I was one of the songs that I was playing as part of like a solo set list, but then I eventually I was like, I need a full band, and we've all been in bands together for a long time in different acts, so we felt really comfortable together, almost to that point of kind of telepathy, like we don't really have to, because I'm not like a, you know, very like theoretical musician, I can't write or like I barely know what fucking chord or key I'm playing on the guitar, I just like hope that like Toby can just see what I'm doing with my fingers and stuff, and then kind of he'll just like start playing the right thing, but or like the opposite thing, which would be perfect at the same time. But originally I just invited Toby and Dan. I'm sorry, Toby and Tom along. And then it was great, but it was kind of just like maybe missing something. Yeah, and then I was like, do you want to explain what I said to you, Dan?
So Yowichi approached me one night and said, yeah, Shoddy's sounding pretty good, but I really want you to just come and jam some saxophone on it. And I sort of thought about it, thought about telling him that I hadn't played sax since I was in the jazz band when I was 15. And then thought, nah, I can do it, it's all good. So I did that. And then when I got in and heard the songs, I was like, oh, you need more than sax. This needs different things. Each song's so unique and different. And I just started collecting a whole bunch of different things that I could make noise with, like iPhone, GarageBand app, and percussion. I found a metal plate that makes a nice noise when I hit it, and yeah, just chucked all that on it.
There's definitely a lot of interesting textural sounds. I noted with Waiting for Antimatter, there's like a lot of percussive sounds, like clapping, or things that sound like clicking, like lots of like bleeping and stuff with panning around and things like that.
Yeah, the panning was actually the one thing from the recording that was my like must have when I was talking to Rowan about it, and he was already there with me, but with the, because I play the iPhone live for those synth noises, and on my head it's always swirling around orbiting the music. It's not sort of, because it's so dissonant to what's happening with the driving rhythm of that these three magical beings create, that was from the recording process. I was like, it needs to pan around in the headphones, and Ron nailed it, I think.
Track Party Bird Late Worm, which is the one that was released as the single and is like the shortest, more like the commercial
the, yeah, yeah, the pop song. That's why I released it as the single. And because, like, you know, time length, you know.
we call it our pub rock banger.
Pub rock banger?
Yeah, it's got some chanting in it, you know. It's like all of us sing on that song pretty much, like, especially in the choruses and stuff, like the breakdowns and stuff. And especially kind of near towards the end, it's kind of all of us chanting. It was kind of like, I don't know, when I was first writing it, I didn't really see it like that. You know, it was kind of like a song about falling in love, basically. But also, yeah, it just became this very like, yeah, you know, just became this like, yeah, a celebration, and but kind of like, yeah, like a definitely like a war fight against, you know, past stuff in my life. But also, yeah, it just started becoming this thing where it was actually quite enjoyable and you know, I guess, like, therapeutic or, you know, cathartic, where, like, once we were kind of doing all the vocal takes together, that's when it really became that song. You know, like, even though we had all the instrumental, like, kind of stuff down, it was, like, it wasn't until we're doing, like, the vocal, it's when we're, like, literally, like, all standing in a circle or in a line, like, kind of looking at each other, like, laughing, and it became, like, almost, like, like a song, like, it made me always think of like the Dudes or something.
I like it because it's got quite distinct phases as well. Like, it almost starts off like a sort of country song or something.
Yeah, it's funny that, like, I've had a few people be like, that aren't necessarily into, like, that type of music, kind of be like, oh, yeah, I tried to listen to that single, and then it sounded real folky, so I only got, like, 3 seconds into it and turned it off. And I'm like, fuck you. Like, supposed to be my friend. You know how much fucking blood, sweat, and tears I put into this? Nah, I'm just joking.
Thank you. Moss Stage closes out the EP with an epic 12 minutes. It made me curious listening to Moss Song. I was wondering if all the songs were written to be together, like to be played together, or were they written separately?
I guess it was kind of one of those things where we wanted an overall like cohesive feel to it. Like you could, like I'm always not so much conceptually, but just trying to make stuff that you would like to listen to start to finish, even if it is just background noise or not, if you are doing stuff while listening to it. But, you know, if you're actually really engaging with it, that you can kind of, like, they are really all different, but then there is this kind of underlining kind of ultimatum or, like, tone to the whole thing, I suppose. Like, do you have anything to say about that, Toby?
I called it Moth Song, but it's Moth Stage.
Moth Stage. Yeah, yeah. It's kind of loosely based on a lot of things, but like a journey, like a big trip we went down to. It was kind of over the space of time of like the New Year's period of 2016 going on 2017, I think. Yeah, yeah. So yeah, it was like the end of 2016. We went down to that like Camp Loam like New Year's thing, and we kind of all just camped up, and because we're all just really close friends, and we all like camped in a circle and. It was basically just the time we spent together over those few days that kind of made me write that song lyrically, I think. Just like the kind of that kind of undying commitment to like friendships and stuff that are long lasting is a rare thing where it just grows and grows in like a really, you know, natural way, but also like ridiculous ways, but also really overwhelming ways as well. Kind of funny because some people will like quote me on some lyrics that I've written and kind of be like, what's that about? And I'll sometimes it's like literally nothing I've thought of, or like I'll just be like kind of quoting something that someone else has said, you know, like one of our other friends or like even one of the other members of the band and stuff. Like in that song there's like this part where it says like so many should have, so many could have, and I got that from Toby, like when we're climbing like Mount Eden like 4 years prior to that basically. So it was like that element was really old, but then like the rest of it was about this other time and this other time. So yeah, it's kind of like a lot of them are like little tangents or stories within stories or dreams within dreams or like worlds within worlds. What do you think about Moss Stage, Tom?
I think it's just a nice example of Witchy's songwriting style, which is it can be fairly eclectic, and like he'll come to us with a song and it'll be often just written by himself and have a lot of his own ideas in it, and then like he's saying, I mean the lyrically it can be very personal, and even for us, like putting together other parts for what he's written, it can be just our own interpretation of what the feeling is that's come from him. So that song just sort of it built on itself.
really, just as different people added in their idea of what was going on.
Wonder listening to it if it's a fully constructed song that is gets played the same every time, or if there's sort of a framework within which you know experiment when playing it.
Yeah, I guess with all of the songs, we're written and worked on them for such a long time. They all have their what they are, but the tighter we get with them, the looser we get with them as well. So it just, yeah, it becomes almost a new thing every time we play it. And sometimes, you know, jams will kind of extend them or become shorter or whatever. It just depends on, yeah, what's happening at the time.
Yeah, I feel like with most of it as well, because there are like seemingly like so many parts, but really like there's a lot of repetition. So it's kind of trying to make that trancey kind of element where you kind of get lost in it too. But like I was kind of saying earlier, like some of it was like the riffs and stuff like that I'd already was kind of been playing for a while, but like these guys kind of really helped me like actually write a song properly, or like, because sometimes I would just have like, it would almost seem like I'd have four songs within a song,
but
then we would just kind of do that kind of thing where it was those little tangents just kind of pieced together like a weird puzzle, like in a strange way that was kind of like, yeah, again, trying to make it cohesive, but then kind of deconstruct it at the same time, where it was kind of like, kind of organized chaos in a way. Yeah, just kind of like making you feel unsettled, but kind of like hypnotized at the same time.
Someone find
sky.
I feel like all of the songs tend to have like a full narrative of where we're all at and have elements of so many different things, because we're all listening to different music and we all bring that influence in, but we also all hang out a lot together. So yeah, that is like, they're all just journeys. I don't know, I feel like all of the songs kind of will take you on this journey and have all the elements that build up your life.
That was Longplayer. Thanks NZ On Air Music.